Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast from the Early Morning Late Show.
It's the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold. The Early Morning Late Show. Get yours started.
We're 4 minutes past the hour of, 7 o'clock Central Time, 8 o'clock on the Eastern Front in Hartford. By the way, if you're listening in Hartford at 94.1 FM, welcome. We are so grateful to have you tuning in. We have been on the air at Faith 1290, the AM station, for a little over a year or so, and now the new 94.1 FM. So please tell your family and friends about Faith Radio. Also, a welcome to new listeners in Waterloo at 93.1 FM, in Madison at 104.7 FM, a growing number of new listening friends from that area. And then also in the Twin Cities, just within the last couple of months, 97.5 FM, and of course always streaming online or via the app. You can get a welcome packet by simply requesting it. Simply go to our website, myfaithradio.com. And request your welcome packet. We'll get it in the mail to you just as quickly as possible. Neil Staven behind the board, and Paul Perot in the newsroom. And Neil, we packed up 260 some odd new listener packets yesterday. We had just a stuffing party.
It was fun just to see from really all across the nation. New friends that are interested in Faith Radio. They discovered us, want to find out more about us. And of course, streaming online from anywhere to the Faith Radio app or myfaithradio.com.
Okay. And in some surprising news today, the Stanley Cup was in Fargo-Moorhead yesterday. Did you know that?
I wasn't aware.
I thought you followed this much closer than you did.
I'm more of a baseball-football guy than hockey. Sorry,
I think that's true. No, yeah. Current Minnesota Wild player Matt Cullen was actually in Fargo-Moorhead area yesterday. He brought the Stanley Cup trophy and actually visited Sanford Children's Hospital, and then eventually ended up in Moorhead showing off the trophy.
I do love that. They let all the players take it to their hometowns, right, for a day or two.
I think that's excellent. Yes, pictures were aplenty, and so were the autographs, who won the cup with the Pittsburgh Penguins this past summer. Paul Schmitz, actually, is founder of a ministry in Nashville. It's called Shower Up, and we're going to talk about that when we come back with more of the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold. I'm Dick Whitworth, filling in for Bill. Eight past the hour. It's the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold. I'm Dick Whitworth. It is a distinct joy and pleasure to introduce to you, many of you, Paul Schmitz. He is founder of a ministry called Shower Up. I've known Paul for 20-plus years. I met him as a young college student, newly married, helping him unload his furniture from a U-Haul. I think it took all of 15 minutes.
That sounds about right.
Is that right? I think that's a fair recollection.
I think it was a 14-foot U-Haul, and yeah, that's about right.
Paul Schmitz, welcome to the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold. So glad to have you with us, and just appreciate our friendship through the years. You're a good man, and I'm just delighted to have a few minutes with you today to talk about something that's, well, tell us how it came about. Shower Up, kind of get the idea that it's a ministry with water, but elaborate, please.
Well, hey, thank you so much for the opportunity, Dick, and I appreciate this because, you know, I actually got to speak to your listeners as we were developing Shower Up, and as Shower Up was a concept, and it was so cool to get response from your listeners and encouragement and support, and so here we are now with Shower Up. It has been a year. It was almost a year ago, a little over a year ago, when it was a Sunday morning. And I was just going through the social media on my phone, and I thought, you know, I'm just wondering what's going on in the world. And backstory is that my family and I have been working with the homeless in various capacities for a number of years. Didn't always do that. Wasn't always our heart, but God did some things in my life and made me realize some things. So really for now, about the past, 8 or 9 years, we've been serving the homeless in various capacities. And I've always looked for this idea of, okay, what's the next thing? What's the thing that's not being met? What's the need that's out there that isn't really being touched? A lot of great organizations are doing meals and clothing, and I applaud them and support them, not only emotionally but financially, because I think they're doing a great work. But I thought, is there something else that's not being accomplished? And we came across this idea of a truck outfitted with showers that we could take to various locations around our city and provide showers for the homeless. And I thought about it. I thought, that's a great idea. Wonder who's going to do that. And it was one of those moments where, you know, and when I say this to people, there's always two reactions. There's always one of going, I get that. Or what are you, nuts? I literally felt like God had said to me, you're doing this. You're going to do this. And, you know, for those of us of faith, those moments aren't always, they don't happen every day. And in that moment, I absolutely knew this is something we were supposed to do. So I thought, okay, well, God, I'll just test you and see. So we started doing some research and discovered that in our city, in Nashville, there were anywhere from, it depends on who you ask, but 5,000 to 10,000 homeless men, women, and children. And quite literally, less than a dozen shower heads that they had access to during the week at any given time, if they could get to them, if they could be there at the right time and get in line and get their name on the list. So we saw there was definitely a need. And so we applied for our 501c3 nonprofit status. And normally that should take months, at least weeks. We had it in 10 days. So we were off and running. So that was the genesis of how Shower Up began.
Well, you know, Paul, most people don't jump from 0 to 60. You mentioned that you were helping the homeless as a family effort. Kind of tell us how that happened. How did your heart for the homeless really develop? And what were some of the beginning steps, the genesis steps that got you to Shower Up?
You know, that is really that was a life change for me. I've been a Christian. I've been a guy in church, and I'll say it that way right now, for a long time. In fact, in 1980, I committed my life to Jesus, and I was a high school student back then. And for the longest time, I thought, you know, I'm going to do all the right things. But I will admit to you and to the folks that are listening to this that I was lazy. And when I heard people in church say things like, you know, if it's not your gift mix, or if it's not your calling or not your burden, you don't need to do some of these things. So I thought, well, great. I'm not burdened to get, you know, close and personal with homeless people. That's awesome. So I don't have to. Well, over the course of, you know, just really it was about a month's time. And it was combined with a message from our pastor. I was also reading a book called Crazy Love by Francis Chan. I've since met Francis and told him that he wrecked my life, and I thanked him profusely for doing it.
That's great.
But I read that, and I read another book called Not a Fan by a pastor named Kyle Eidelman out of Louisville, Kentucky. And those books helped me to realize that even though I may have been a good Christian, I was not a very good Jesus follower, because Jesus told us very clearly to love and serve and give to certain people who are in really God's economy. I discovered, for myself at least, and I would never put this on anybody else, but I will say that I discovered that these are non-negotiables. So when I was saying things like, well, it's not my burden. Yeah, it is. It's not my gift mix. Doesn't matter. That's not my calling. You're wrong about that. It's all of our callings if we say that we follow Jesus. So that's where I got. And so it was a change of heart. And it wasn't just a change of mind. It was a change of heart that I thought, okay, I'm going to do something about this. So we packed up sack lunches in the town we lived in, and we started taking sack lunches to the homeless people. And we thought, well, this is a great thing. After about two or three weeks, I realized I wasn't being very strategic, and we weren't doing a lot by sticking our arm out the window with a sack lunch and handing it to a homeless person. But the second we got out of our cars and started talking to people, God changed my heart and gave me a love for people that I didn't know and who, quite honestly, I never would have met unless I was intentional about going out and finding them. He put a love in my heart for them that I believe he always wanted me to have, and I kept pushing it aside, and I regret that. But we have embraced it, obviously, at this point. We have great stories of great relationships and friendships with those who right now are homeless and transitional.
When we come back, I want to hear some of those stories, Paul. Paul Schmitz is my guest today on the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold. We're talking about his ministry, Shower Up. You can find out more at showerup.org. And again, the conversation will continue with Paul after this break. It's 18 past the hour. You're listening to the Early Morning Late Show on the Faith Radio Network. I'm Dick Whitworth filling in for Bill Arnold. Bill is on vacation, much deservedly so. He'll be back on Tuesday, back in the saddle again, as they say, and looking forward to his return, as I'm sure you are as well. But thank you for tuning in today. And thanks for listening to our conversation with Paul Schmitz with Shower Up. By the way, Paul, Jane says to tell you hello. It's nice to hear your voice.
Hey, Andy, Jane, it's good to talk to you. Good to hear from you.
We feel like Paul Schmitz and his family have been a part of our family for many, many years. But enough about memory lane here. Talk to us about the process. And there's so much to tell about Shower Up, how the miracle of the truck and how it came about and your drive out to Hartford, Connecticut, and yada, yada, yada. Can you somewhat put that together quickly? Because I do want to hear some of the stories of what God is actually doing through Shower Up.
And, you know, this whole thing has been a journey of faith. You know, when we started out thinking, okay, well, we're gonna put together a truck, we're gonna put showers in it, and take it down and give showers to homeless people. You know, just the very concept of that is foreign to most people. Now, when we explain it, it's very easy to understand. Oh, homeless people need showers. Hadn't thought about that. Most of us never even crossed our minds that homeless people might have difficulty getting showers. So right there, when we started talking to people, it became, you know, kind of lights on. And we launched this thing last fall, and really by the end of the year, we'd raised enough money to get our truck, which ironically was in Hartford, Connecticut. Now, I live in Nashville, and the drive from Hartford, Connecticut to Nashville in a 18-foot box truck is not for the weary of heart. it was challenging, but it was joyful because I knew that, you know, here we've got this truck now, and we're going to be able to launch this ministry. And so I got the truck home, and I got out of it. I looked at it, and I thought, okay, I've got a box truck here. Now what? And I have, you know, I'm a guy that's got, I have vision. I can see, I looked at the box truck, I saw, okay, well, this is what it's going to look like. But getting from what it was to what I envisioned, I had no idea. I really didn't know. I thought, okay, well, I'll just spend weekends working on it. It'll just take me 3 years. So I started asking around, and I thought about a company here in Nashville that does things like heating and plumbing and air conditioning, and I thought, you know, that company would be a great company if they could throw their resources behind what we're doing. I'll just go talk to them and see what they say. So I met with one of their senior vice presidents. I knew a guy who knew a guy, and that's how, you know, God does that a lot of times with these things. He opens doors, goes ahead of us, and he's already made connections that we don't even need to worry about often. So I met with this guy. I said, okay, here's what I have. I outlined everything. I need engineering help. I need design help. I need plumbing. You know, we're going to put three showers in here, and we have to get a tankless hot water heater, and we have to somehow power that. I went through this whole list, and he looked at my list and said, oh, yeah, we do all that stuff, and we would love to help you. And he quoted me a price, which I thought was, I thought he was joking. I thought, is this just the price for the parts, or is this just the parts for, the price for one part? And he was like, no, this is what we'll do. We'll just donate the rest. I said, oh my gosh, that's awesome. And you know, when you're in those meetings, you just want to jump up and scream. I played it very cool. Like, you'll love that I sat there very dignified and, well, thank you very much. That's very kind of you. And, but then he said, Paul, you got to hear this. I'm like, okay, what's next? Good, bad, I don't know. He said, there's another senior vice president two doors down from me. He said, he came to me 2 weeks ago and he said, hey, you're not going to believe this. I had this dream last night. I dreamt that our company, this is weird, we got a box truck and we put showers in it. We took it downtown and gave showers to the homeless.
Oh, my.
And my guy says to him, you're not going to believe this. I have a meeting in 2 weeks with a guy who wants our help to do that very thing. So when we talk about God going ahead of us, we've seen that all along in this process, that God has gone ahead of us. And so really within not 3 years, but within literally about 10 weeks, we had a truck that was completely retrofitted. Nice. And part of our design and part of our philosophy is that when you serve the homeless, we don't want to give our leftovers. We don't want to give, you know, just a token thing. We want it to be a nice. I want to provide them with a shower that I would want to take. And so that was our motivation. And Paul, I like a nice shower.
Paul, sorry to interrupt, but we only have about a minute or so left, maybe a minute and a half. Tell me about some of the stories. Can you just share maybe one or two of how this ministry has had an impact?
First night we were out, we had a young man who came up, an Army veteran, and he's back home. He lives in a tent, and he's just not had a good time since he's been back in the States. We saw him. He got a shower. I asked him, how long has it been? He says, it's been 49 days since I'd had a shower.
Wow.
That's 7 weeks. And he came back the next 4 weeks or so and got a shower every week with us. He came back the next week, and I said, you're going to get a shower with us, Kenny? And Kenny looked at me and said, no, I'm not. I'm like, well, what's wrong? He goes, I don't want to be late. I said, late? Late for what? He goes, 3 days ago, I got a job.
Praise the Lord.
I haven't seen Kenny since.
Amazing.
That's awesome.
Paul Schmitz is founder of a ministry called Shower Up. You can find out more about it, showerup.org. Paul, we certainly commend you, support you, and I would encourage our listeners to check out your website. I know you're in need of financial support, and if you're feeling led or have the burden, I know Paul would love to hear from you. It is really a very hands-on, hands and feet type outreach and effort. And my friend, we bless you and certainly wish you Godspeed in the days ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Dick.
All right. You're listening to the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold. I'm Dick Whitworth. We're going to take a short break, and Breakpoint coming up next. It is now 7:30 Central Time, 8:30 on the eastern side of our listening audience. Thanks for joining us. It's the Early Morning Late Show. Chris Martin, the millennial evangelical, will be joining us in just a few minutes after the news break. Twenty-five minutes before the top of the hour, you're listening to the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold. I'm Dick Whitworth. Pastor Carter Conlon, he's a pastor and author, was recently a guest on Faith Radio and talking about a call for America to prepare. And Pastor Conlon remains in prayer so that everyone will have the chance to hear the gospel and return to God.
That's my constant prayer now. I pray it in church. I pray it privately. I said, Lord, don't let people go to hell in New York City on my watch. And what I have been praying lately is, Lord, God, I ask only that you give every man, woman, and child an opportunity to hear about your cross and to hear about what you did and the eternity that you offer to those who return to you. If they go to hell, let it be because they chose it, not because they have never heard it. And that's the cry of my heart constantly now, is, Lord, be merciful to New York City. Be merciful to this nation. Be merciful to your house, to your church. be merciful to all of us for what we've done and give us one more opportunity. And like I said earlier, I'm not asking for the saving of sandcastles or some lifestyle. I'm asking for the saving of people, because that's really what it's all about. It's all about Christ died for people, not to save societies, died for people.
That's Pastor Carter Conlon. You can hear the entire interview at myfaithradio.com. In the search bar, if you will put America Prepare with Pastor Carter Conlon. And you're listening to the Early Morning Late Show. Coming up in just a few moments, we'll be talking to Chris Martin. He is founder of the Millennial Evangelical website and has a regular post on that particular website. Love to talk to Chris, and we will in just a moment.
Teens today are experts in the art of mass communication, but they tend to come up short on truly connecting. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. From Facebook and Twitter to Instagram and Snapchat, today's generation has every tool imaginable at their fingertips for communicating with peers. They can barely go 5 minutes without telling the whole world about what they're eating or where they're going with their friends. But you and I both know that this form of one-way communication falls painfully short of meaningful conversation. So Mom, Dad, turn off the cell phone, close the laptop, and teach your teen the dying art of connecting face-to-face. No amount of likes or followers can replace the joy of true relationship.
Download a free copy of Mark Gregston's Four Fears of Parents During the School Year at ParentingTodaysTeens.org.
We're 37 minutes past the hour. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dick Whitworth filling in for Bill Arnold. It is the Early Morning Late Show, and excited today to talk to Chris Martin. Chris is a millennial evangelical. He's working as author development specialist at Lifeway Christian Resources, has his MDiv from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, and via Skype, no less, he is on the Early Morning Late Show. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We are well. It is always great to have you. I'm a faithful Early Morning Late Show listener, so I always enjoy your conversations with Bill Arnold. So it's been fun and looking forward to the opportunity to chat with you personally. So great to have you on board. One of the questions that we've been asking this week of our guests and of our listeners is what's the best advice that Mom and Dad ever gave you? You're still in your mid to late 20s, so it's not that far removed from being parented. Do you ever hear yourself echoing your dad or your mom and thinking, oh my goodness, I have become one of them?
Yes, you in good ways and some ways that maybe I wish not, but my parents are awesome, so more good ways than not. But man, you're really putting me on the spot. I think the one thing I can think of, and this is actually both of my parents told me this, but my dad told me this more than my mom. When I was a kid, and even still some to this day, depending on who you ask, I could be a hothead, and I could be really passionate about, you know, arguing my point on certain topics, however frivolous or important they maybe were. I wanted to win every argument. One of the most important pieces of advice my dad ever gave me, and I'm sure my mom said it too, but I remember my dad telling me over and over, you have to pick your battles wisely. You can't die on every hill. You can't fight every battle. There are some things that you just need to let go. Some arguments or thoughts or discussions that you just need to let die, and that you shouldn't argue every point. And I still, you know, I've thankfully matured a bit since I moved out of my parents' house and out from under their roof. But I still remind myself of that all the time. And I fight a lot fewer frivolous battles and arguments than I used to. So that's definitely one thing that my parents told me growing up that I remind myself of regularly.
That's very cool. Great advice. Chris Martin, the Millennial Evangelical. Chris, your latest post on your website is talking about three popular lies millennials believe about how the world works. I'd like us to talk a little bit about that, but I wonder, do you ever get any pushback from fellow millennials about some of your revealing conversations? You're kind of pulling back the curtain for the rest of us to peer in. Do they appreciate your comments, or do you get pushback?
Yeah, you know, I think I try to do a really fair job. I'm not a journalist, but I like to see myself covering millennials, and specifically religious and evangelical millennials in particular, almost as a journalist with a really even hand and an unbiased perspective. I try to kind of report both sides of the story, as it were.
So everybody's mad at you.
Exactly. Yes. So to your point, I sometimes have people my parents' age and my grandparents' age that aren't happy with how I'm defending millennials and how they live and think. And then sometimes I have some of my millennial friends who don't like how I'm pointing out some of our flaws among our own generation. So so to your point, I think some people my millennial friends go back and forth about whether or not they appreciate what I'm saying, depending on how I'm framing the argument.
Well, let's talk about your latest post, because it is it was very interesting, and certainly the first popular lie that you articulate or indicate right about is anything you want can be obtained instantly. Please elaborate.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, we really do live in like an instant gratification world, don't we? I mean, Amazon is taking over the world along with Google and everyone else. They just bought Whole Foods the last month or so, and are already making their presence known in Whole Foods stores. And Amazon and its Amazon Prime system, which I love and have been subscribed to for a number of years now, has made us feel like we can get anything we want instantly. We can access music on Spotify, Apple Music, or other outlets instantly. You know, just this week I was going back and we had a discussion at our community group about pop songs released in 1999. Today, or in, you know, if technology today was like it was in 1999 and I wanted to go back and listen to hits of yesteryear, I'd have to go to a store and try to find old CDs, which they probably don't have anymore or whatever. This week, when I wanted to go back and listen to the hits of 1999, I just went over to Spotify and found a 1999 playlist that somebody made and reminisced about when I was 8 and 9 years old. So we have this idea that anything we want can be obtained instantly. And when it comes to products and services, a lot of times that is the case. Unfortunately, that's made us think that we can find purpose in our lives instantly, or that we can find happiness instantly, or that love, these more kind of abstract, non-purchasable items, we think we can get for free. And that's a problem. So I think a lot of times we lack patience, and we aren't willing to invest the time, blood, sweat, and tears it takes to get things that are worth having. And not the thing is, you know, Dick, we get a lot of things instantly, and those things, it's okay to get those instantly, but a lot of things in life that you want, you don't want to get instantly. We it's a reality we wouldn't want to live in, to get some of these things instantly. And so a lot of things that we want aren't worth getting instantly. It's worth waiting for, worth working for. And so I think, unfortunately, a lot of millennials believe this lie that somehow Amazon Prime culture or Spotify Music culture, where we can get things instantly, applies to all of life, and that's just not the case.
Yeah, that's very interesting. It's a great point. I did kind of smile while you were talking, because I remember my father telling me that I had many more possessions earlier in my life than he and my mom, or that he and my mom had, and that they had to really work for them. You have Amazon, we had Walmart.
Right, exactly.
So
exactly.
Everything came faster.
I'm terrified to see what my kids will have when they're, you know, I don't have kids yet, but when they get, you know, in their teens and early 20s, I'm terrified to see what life will be like.
Well, we're excited to have Chris Martin, the millennial evangelical, with us today. And we're going to talk more about his latest post on his website. And we'll tell you about that. It's millennialevangelical.com. It's three popular lies millennials believe about how the world works. We're going to get lies 2 and 3 here in just a few moments. You're listening to the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold. I'm Dick Whitworth. We're 15 minutes away from the top of the hour. You're listening to the Early Morning Late Show on the Faith Radio Network. By the way, if you're new to Faith Radio, welcome. We are so honored to have you tuning in. Be sure and request a new welcome packet if you haven't already. It's free to you. It's filled with information about Faith Radio and some encouraging content for you. Visit myfaithradio.com to request your free welcome packet today, whether you're listening in Sioux Falls at Faith 1270 or maybe you're online today at My Faith Radio or through our app. We'd love to send you a welcome packet, a way to, well, just get acquainted and to get the conversation started. Chris Martin, founder of the Millennial Evangelical website, is our guest today. He's with Lifeway Resources, working with author development. And Chris has posted a new article on his website, Three Popular Lies Millennials Believe About How the World Works. So, Chris, why is it if you try hard enough, why can't you be anything you want to be and change the world? Talk to me about that.
Yeah, you know, growing up, I always used to want to be a professional baseball player, and I didn't make it past, you know, mediocre high school ball. And I'm thankful that my parents never told me, from what I can remember, yeah, you're going to be, yeah, you can be a Major League Baseball player. You can be anything you want. And you know, and nothing's going to stop you. I mean, I'm sure, you know, when I was a little kid and I said that, they probably said that from time to time. But as I grew older and as life began to change, they did not give me the sort of false idea that I could be something unrealistic or kind of lead me along, as it were. And they didn't, you know, lord over me this idea that I need to be that because I wanted to be that or something to that effect. Really, this lie that if you just try hard enough, you can be anything you want and you can change the world. It kind of goes hand in glove with the first point, because what happens is, I mean, telling kids you can be anything you want and you can change the world is obviously better than telling them you're probably going to work a mediocre office job your whole life and you're just going to have to deal with it. I'm not advocating we tell kids that.
Brutal reality is your friend is what you're saying.
Yeah, right. So I'm just – my main concern about what – you know, this is a similar point. It's related. It's not completely the same. But everyone makes fun of millennials and the participation trophy culture that we grew up in, right? Like, oh, man, you millennials, you just think you can get anything you want because you were all given participation trophies when you were a kid. And it's like they're blaming us for growing up in that culture. And I'm like, 90% of the time, the people making that claim are the people that were handing out the participation trophies. It's not like millennials were going to the store and buying participation trophies when they were nine. It's like parents were the ones giving them to us. Anyway, we have this idea that we can do anything we want. And all of this to say, as millennials have shown in a number of ways, and innovations, especially yes. In the technology space, we have a lot of abilities. We have a lot of gifts. There is a lot we can do that our parents and grandparents couldn't do just because of the way innovation has been happening. But the reason it goes kind of hand in glove with the first point is we often, millennials, don't understand that changing the world or being whatever we want can't happen at the click of a button or the tap of an app on our phone. You know, we want to help this disaster or this situation. You know, we want to eradicate the world of sex trafficking or fix systemic poverty or things like that. And those are great aspirations to have. And I'm thankful that a lot of millennials are interested in social justice and activism work like that because it's a huge need.
Yes, it is.
But unfortunately, I think young people have become impatient and unsatisfied, and they give up after a couple of years. They burn out because they're like, I came out here to change the world and it didn't happen as quickly as I thought it was going to.
Do you know it, the American Idol phenomena where some of the worst singers in the world auditioned thinking they could make it. And I've often thought, where were their parents or where were their friends? Because you're really bad, you know?
Yeah.
Speaking truth to millennials, and certainly you're in the best place to do so. I appreciate the article, but, how do you speak, you know, truth in that regards, in that realm?
Yeah, I think it's really tough. I think you have to earn trust and earn respect and earn the ability to speak. And I think the way you earn the ability to speak is by listening. I don't do enough listening. You know, I like to say what I think, and write what I think. But I think one of the best ways to give constructive criticism, to put it that way, to young people, whether you're a young person like me and you're trying to speak to your peers, or you're someone who's maybe a parent of a millennial or an older friend or family member, it's really just to listen and understand where they're coming from and and show them that you value who they are and what they have to say, and then giving them advice or instruction in the most respectful way possible. Part of the reason I started the whole Millennial Evangelical blog in 2014 is because I was frustrated with the sort of condescending nature with which people were talking to my peers, and especially in the religious and Christian space in particular. And they were talking about how millennials are never growing up and they're relationally and spiritually immature and da da da. And all of that, you know, there's truth to all of that. But there was no kind of unbiased from a millennial's perspective look at who we are and what we think and what we do. And I think what I've tried to foster with my blog and what I hope that I've tried to foster in older people who aren't millennials that read my blog is a respect, a willing and ability to listen to young people, even if they're saying things that you think are patently false or completely wrong, twisted ways to view the world. A lot of times in my experience, just this is true of interpersonal communication, no matter who you're talking to, you're more likely to get an ear when you're willing to lend yours. And I think you're more likely to get someone to listen to you when you first show that you're willing to listen to them. I mean, it really just goes back to like the golden rule, be willing to, you know, treat others like you want to be treated. And so I think that's some of the most effective ways to sort of communicate with and understand where millennials are coming from in their beliefs or actions.
Well, and the truth is, I know I could listen more. I do appreciate what I hear from the millennials who are on our team at Faith Radio. About 50% of our staff is in that category, and they are some of the most creative, kind, and visionary, and have really added a dimension to Faith Radio that has been amazing. And so we do celebrate them, and we do welcome their input for sure. Last, we have about 2 minutes left. Social media enhances your ability to communicate and develop relationships with others. Not true?
Yeah. You know, I think it's true to a point. I think we've put too much weight on this. I work in social media. As an author development specialist at Lifeway, the majority of my author development is helping authors connect with their readers online and serve their readers online. And I think, you know, I work in social media. I study it. I'm launching a new project with Lifeway in the social media space to coach others, not just authors. And I think social media is a Hurricane Harvey. I've tweeted this a little bit in the last few days. Hurricane Harvey and the disaster and effects that it has wrought in Texas and other places, and the response on social media, I think justifies social media's existence over yes. all of the terrible things that have happened. Because if you look at the responses to Katrina and Harvey, obviously tons. I mean, I went and served in Biloxi, Mississippi after Katrina. There was a ton of mobilization and support for the Gulf Coast after Katrina, but the amount of social media support following Harvey has been astonishing to me. And so I think social media is there's a lot of negativity. There's a lot of good. I think millennials have misunderstood it as a way to create deep and lasting relationships more than it's able to. I think we've just put more of an expectation and weight on it than we should. And I think it's good for some things. It's not good for other things. And I think millennials need to be careful about how much weight to put on it.
Chris Martin, our guest today on the Early Morning Late Show. Chris is founder of the Millennial Evangelical website. Check it out. And we'll be back with more of the Early Morning Late Show, some closing comments after this break. We're about 3 minutes away from the top of the hour. I'm Dick Whitworth, along with Neil Stavem, our network program director, and Paul Perreault in the newsroom. Thank you for being a part of today's edition of the Early Morning Late Show. Bill has been on vacation. We'll be back on Tuesday, assuming he can hear the alarm clock again. We're looking forward to having him back. This has been fun, though, right, Neil?
It's been great. It's been a wonderful week. And, of course, leading up to Labor Day, it's kind of the end of summer and a lot of transition time. And so we're, you know, getting fired up for Tuesday.
That's right. And, you know, today is September 1. Hard to believe. August has come and gone so quickly. Friends, thank you again for tuning in. Thanks also for your faithful support of this ministry. Together we are making a difference for Christ through relevant Bible preaching and family-focused teaching. Programs like the Early Morning Late Show, Connecting Faith with Neil Stavem, of course, Susie Larson's Live the Promise. You make it all possible when you pray and support this ministry. Have a great rest of your Friday, September 1, a great weekend, and the Early Morning Late Show returns on Tuesday.
Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show. Connecting.